industry in the San Fernando Valley. It's the show where you can't have the show without the business. I'm your host, Brian Metcalf. My guest host today is Alex Karlamov. He's worked as a composer and musician for films such as Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, Salt, Green Lantern, and The Bourne Legacy. Alex, thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So when did you know you wanted to become a musician?
I was 5 years old. I saw a piano on a stage at a concert hall. And this was not during a concert. This was when a concert hall was used for kids, for parents to register their kids for a summer camp. So my mom took me there to register me for a summer camp, and as I said, I was 5 years old, and kids were running all around, you know, the stage, the hall, and there were registering tables, and so it was a big fun mess. And when I looked at the stage, I saw the kids just gathering around some kind of object, and they were just kind of like banging on the keys, and then when it cleared up a little bit, you know, some kids ran away from the piano somewhere else. I saw what the object was, and somehow I just realized intuitively it was like the light, you know. Ta-da! I was like, wow, this is what I want. And I asked my mom what it was, and my parents are not musicians, so but obviously she knew it was the piano. I didn't know. This was the first time, but basically that was it. It was just like that. It's not like I was trying out different things. I mean, when I was little, you know, I was doing a bunch of other things too, and I was doing dancing. I was playing hockey at one of the lead Russian teams. I'm Russian, just to let people know, right? I'm Russian. I was born in Moscow in Russia and grew up there. So this was all happening in Moscow, Russia. So basically, but music was always my thing. So basically, a year later, I was accepted into two music schools playing piano. In Russia, you couldn't just go, you couldn't just, you know, attend a school. You had to pass exams and get accepted. So I got accepted into two music schools, and I started to study piano in one of those schools, which was closer. We've just selected this the one of the two schools that were the closest, and so I was studying the piano, and then I quit about 2 or 3 years later because it got real boring for me. The stuff that I was playing was boring. And then I started to just play the guitar, the bass guitar, just by myself, you know. I made a guitar, actually. I made an electric guitar on my own. And then I joined the rock band in my, in the States you would say middle school, but in Russia it's just one school, basically. You go to the same school for 10 years or 11 years. And so I joined the rock band, and then but the guys who were playing in that band, they were 10th grade students, so they graduated the next year, and then the next year it's become my band. So I was the main guy now, writing songs and everything. And so basically, and then after that, by the time I figured, okay, I'm gonna graduate, you know, the school in a year. What am I gonna do? And I really wanted to be a pilot, so I was really considering going into an aviation school. But at the same time, I really loved music. I mean, music was in my blood, you know. And my father somehow found out that, hey, can you imagine there are colleges where you can, like, actually go and study music? I was not aware of that. I had no idea that there were these colleges and academies. So I've ended up going trying to get accepted into the school called Gnesins Russian Music Academy. And I totally failed because I came there with my songs and I just started to play my rock songs. And they were like, well, okay, that's good. Did you prepare scales and arpeggios and etudes? And I was like, what? I'm a rock musician. And they're like, okay, bye. And then I spent a year taking all kinds of private classes, you know, studying music theory and actually studying, you know, professionally the bass. I've decided that the bass would be my instrument if I go to that school. And a year later, I got accepted, and you know, I went through exams. So that's how it started, basically.
Great. And did you? So you knew you wanted to be a musician, and obviously you kept trying and retrying and doing all types of different things and mm-hmm. everything like that. Who would you say your major influences were in your life to help you along with all these different things?
It changes gradually, obviously, because, you know, you kind of like discover new things and you evolve as a person and as an artist. And you look for different sources of information and artistry but for me it started with an interesting combination. You know, in Russia, in the Soviet Union, we didn't have access to everything out there. And I'm talking about everything from classical to modern kind of stuff. So, but we had some selective access to some really good things. So my first real strong influence was Pink Floyd. I listened to Wish You Were Here and The Dark Side of the Moon probably 5,000 times, you know, when I was early teen. And ABBA, you know, ABBA, very melodic. The Beatles, some Rolling Stones. And then just some bands that nobody here knows about, like Bonnie M. I forget the name. Anyway, like Italian, German techno bands, you know. There were some recordings that were going around in Russia on cassettes, which sometimes you didn't even know what they were. So after I came to the States, I realized, oh, that one thing that I really loved, that was Kraftwerk. You know, we didn't know what some artists or bands were even named when I listened to them. It was just, a lot of times it was a compilation of stuff that you would get from your friends. You know, you would copy from cassette to cassette.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And so how did you segue into composing and getting into this field? So you were doing the other stuff, and then you went from rock music and all that. How did you get into composing?
I was actually composing in different genres from my childhood. You know, I had a piano at home, so I was just spending hours and hours every day writing songs or writing electronic music, which was electronic in my head. It sounded like piano music when I was playing it, but it was electronic in my head because, you know, I didn't have access to synths for a while, but it was all it was electronic music and the way I composed it. I also composed symphonic music all on the piano. And then once I got into this the Russian Music Academy, you know, I was already studying orchestration there, and so I had access to all this high level, you know, musical education. And so I started to write this down for orchestra. I didn't have any access to orchestra for a while, and then after a couple of years of being in that school, I suddenly gained access to the symphonic orchestra there, because one of my majors was conducting. In that school, you had to have one instrumental or vocal major, and then you could also get one or two other musical majors. So it wasn't like one major or minor. It was all majors. So I've chosen the bass as my instrument, and then conducting and recording engineering as my other majors. So when I've chosen conducting after the second year, all of a sudden I figured, wow, they let you conduct orchestra. And so I started to write for that orchestra, and I could conduct my own stuff. So and that was in parallel with doing some fusion, because we had to get a band together there, and most people were, for some reason, they were playing bebop. And I played bebop a little bit because I kind of felt, okay, this is what everybody is doing. And I got real bored with it real fast, because it was just very, first of all, it felt old to me. And even though I had respect for that and for any other genre, but we very quickly with my band, we moved into creating our own stuff. So we started to came up kind of like with our own style of Pat Metheny meets Metallica meets Pink Floyd, that kind of stuff. So it was all together. So it was all going in parallel. You know, I just never really felt that I was here to do just one thing stylistically. It was just kind of random, and I wasn't really in control of that, you know. So
absolutely.
Anything. So I'm still not locked into one style or one genre or one instrumentation type of thing. You know, I just do anything.
So what would you say your first break was? Big break into composing then was from there.
I don't think I got a big break yet as a composer. I'm still kind of like on the way to that. I've worked on big projects, as you mentioned, but I was working for the primary composers, the main composers for those films.
So who was the first big composer that you worked for, and how did you get the gig doing that?
This was James Newton Howard, and it was Batman Begins. And I got that, it's very simple, by personal recommendation. Basically, when you are in this business, you know, you meet with people, and you work on some projects, you release your own stuff. You know, when I came to LA in 1997, one of the main things I did, I was just giving my CDs to everybody and sending them out CDs with my stuff. Just my songs, my instrumental music. It was not necessarily all film music, you know, it was just all different stuff that I had at the time. And so basically people kind of find out about you, and some people want to help, and they recommend you, and or some people hire you for some stuff, and then some other people hear that, and they sort of, you know, if you do a job good enough for people to like it, or for people to get impressed by, they recommend you. So basically the way this worked, one good friend of mine, an American composer, Lenny Moore, he recommended me to Steve Porcaro, who was and still is one of the main musicians in the band Toto. And James Newton Howard used to play in that band. I think he played keyboards, and he orchestrated for all kinds of bands in the 80s, including Toto. So they're still really good friends, or maybe even best friends. So Steve Porcaro recommended me to James Newton Howard, and James called me before he started to work on Batman Begins and invited me, and it went from that.
That's great. And so what's it like when you listen to your music on film or television or video games and stuff like that? How does it feel for you to be able to hear your stuff there on the screen?
It's a very happy feeling. Yeah. It's like making love to your, you know, loved person, you know, so it's like that. It's happiness. basically.
And have you ever written a score or something where it was meant for one thing and they took it and edited it and cut it for something else, or they changed it to be for a different scene or something that you didn't anticipate or expect?
No, that's never happened to me.
Oh, that's good. And what are some of the movies that, like, for example, when you worked on Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, can you tell us about the process and what you were asked to do and what you came in and did on that?
Well, this was one of the projects where I don't make music directly. I made these, how would you say it, music elements, which... in this case, James basically asked me to make a library of these musical sounds, but they're more than sounds. They're mini compositions in a way, controllable. You know, I made it so that he can load into his computer, into a specific computer program, and he can manipulate them in real time, alter them in real time. So they are not static sounds. They are these elements that have little lives on their own, of their own. And in this case, he asked me to make a library of scary, majestic, and mystical bell and chime-like musical elements, short, long, you know, basically that was the direction. And so I spent a few weeks, well, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, just coming up with all kinds of elements like that. And I do a lot of experimental stuff, and that's one of the reasons why composers like him hire me. It's because when he asks me to do, let's say, chimes, I don't just go and buy a chime and sample it and run it through a reverb and give it to him. I don't do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I take completely other sounds. You would never think that you could make a chime from something that I would make, and then I bring that into a chime or bell like sonic realm, and I do all kinds of things, and I come up with all kinds of different versions of that. So you get a mysterious chime, but it's really not a chime. You know what I'm saying? so that's. That's the kind of one of the things that I do for these composers.
And it sounds like you do quite a mess with quite a bit of different types of instrumentations and everything mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. Can you describe some of the programs you use and equipment that you use and everything like that?
Yes. My main program is Cubase.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's called Cubase Pro, although it's always been Pro. Cubase, and within Cubase, basically, you can do everything you want, you know, musical, mm-hmm. experimentation. What else? In order to manipulate sound or to add to its character, I use a lot of convolution reverbs or responses. I think, what is it called? Impulse responses.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really great technology if you don't use presets, if you make your own impulse responses. I won't go into detail about this, you know, because it's a complex thing. But
it sounds like you're using a lot of electronic-based programs and computer software and everything to do all your stuff with.
Yes, it's software, and I do use some outboard gear.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much now, except, well, if any outboard gear... One of the things I use, it's called InSonic DP4.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sound processor made in the 90s by a great company called InSonic, an American company, which unfortunately went out of business because they were too visionary for their time. They were not making something that everybody else, like Korg and Roland, were making. They were just going way out of reality sometimes, and this is one of the best things they've made in DP4 processor. You can still find it. You can buy it on eBay for about $300, $400, It's a really great thing. It provides such effects and processing capabilities that a lot of times you won't find within plugins. But it's a combination. You know, I use that. I use a lot of guitar pedals, which I don't always use for guitars. You know, you can run all kinds of stuff through them. I also use a Roland synth. It's called a vocal synth. They don't make it anymore. It's called VP550. You basically sing through it. but what comes out is not your voice. You're playing the notes and you select the sounds that will be singing what you are singing into it. So it can sound like a vocoder, like a robot, or like cosmic, some kind of choir.
So you can make your voice almost sound like a female's voice if you wanted to, or a really low voice.
Or really low voice, or just something really that doesn't exist in nature. Actually, I used some of that on Green Lantern. Mm. There is a scene where we see the main character transforming from human to superhuman, into becoming the Green Lantern. That scene is called Transformation. And during that scene, if you listen to it very closely, you'll hear that there is orchestra and there is also choir, but it's not actually choir. It's me singing through that, through four different settings. I layered four different, choir-like cosmic sounds.
Wow.
To create something that there were no lyrics. It sounds like there are lyrics, but it's just vocalizing as if singing some lyrics. But the sound of it is the most important thing. It just sounds out of this world. You know, that's the idea behind it. So
what was your favorite project that you've worked on in total?
Oh.
Do you have any favorite projects that you want to bring up that you've worked on in the past?
Probably Batman Begins was most interesting because I had almost complete freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, James Newton Howard basically asked me to create all kinds of atmospheric evolving stuff and some industrial percussive sounds and rhythms. Most of the percussive stuff that you hear there in that score, that's my stuff. This was good because I haven't really done that kind of stuff before that. And it was giving me a lot of freedom. You know, when somebody shows you Batman Begins movie and tells you, okay, just now you know what the movie is, so now just go back to your studio and do anything you want atmospheric or ambient. That's really great. And you just sit down and with Batman Begins in mind, you just create whatever you feel like. It's really amazing. You know, you don't do it to the picture, but you do it to the concept.
Right. When you have the creative freedom, that's what makes it free and fun and everything like that.
Yeah, that was great. But I mean, pretty much every other all other projects I've worked on was a lot of fun. There was a movie, an indie movie that I scored a couple of years ago called War Pigs. Mm-hmm. That was a very fun movie too, because the producers asked me to write music in the style of the late 60s, early 70s war movies.
Hmm.
American and European war movies. Because they made that movie, this was a World War II movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they made that movie in the style of Kelly's Heroes, those kinds of films. And I've actually ended up watching, I've watched probably 15 different films, including
Wow.
some German films and English films. Because music, you know, back then was really different from today's music. So I had to study. I spent a couple of weeks
just really
studying that and then ended up creating the whole score in that style. And that was great. That kind of gives you freedom too, because today a lot of times, you know, they want Hans Zimmer type of music or it's today it's very limited. Most of the scores that for World War II movies, or you know, Saving Private Ryan, they just go for one or another, or there are two or three directions that they take in these kinds of films. But this one was different in the way that you had to go and actually create something that nobody else is doing today. But which is really fun music. Once I started to create it, it was like, wow, that's a whole new world. You know, it's an old world, but to me it was new, and it was so much fun. There is a lot of flexibility in that style.
So where can we find your music at? Where does someone who's listening, where can they go to listen to your music at?
I have a bunch of my music, maybe 70 different pieces on my website, which is magicalscores.com. That's the name of my company, my music company. And not everything is there, like War Pigs score is not there. I haven't updated it for a couple of years now. I just didn't have time. But if you get your hands on War Pigs DVD, for example, I think in Europe at least, DVDs are around. There are people writing me, you know, through email from Europe. Once in a while, they're saying, "Oh, can you send me, you know, your signed picture? I loved your score for War Pigs." It's interesting how I thought this was just a small movie that would maybe go to DVDs here in the States.
But you found a fan base, huh?
People actually hear that music on the DVD in Europe. So
it sounds like it, like a lot of the stuff, since we can't find it, if we go to IMDb and look up your name, Alex Karlamov, you can find down all the scores that you've worked on there as well.
Yes. What I've done for like those big films, 90% or 99% sometimes is not my music. You know, it's the music that the primary composers for those movies write, and I just do a very little part. But actually, for example, the movie is Salt. Mm-hmm. I co-wrote music for two scenes. One of the scenes is when Angelina Jolie gets captured, and she's a couple of cops are driving her in a big black truck, I guess into jail or something, and she gets away from them. She fights them, and she gets out of the truck, and truck falls off the bridge there, and. So that's mostly my music.
That's great.
And I played that as well. And then there's another scene where Angelina is fighting the bad guy who is trying to kill the president, who is trying to launch, nuclear weapons all around the world, and she's fighting him there. So that fighting scene is also my music. So
you got to, whenever you're watching that movie Salt, you have to make sure to check out those scenes and realize it was Alex working on those scenes crazily.
Yeah, so in those films, it's kind of like on and off like that. Sometimes it's obvious, like in Salt, and at other times it's kind of like hidden among a lot of other elements.
Right. Well, Alex, I want to thank you for being here today and sharing your career with us. Good luck on the music. And you can find his music at www.magicscores.com. You've been listening to The Creative Arts Business. I'm Brian Metcalf for KPC Radio. And any last words you want to say, or any last things you want to say?
If you love what you're doing, just believe in yourself. This business is very uncompromising. It's sometimes very hurtful, so to say, but just don't pay attention at the negative parts of it. Stay positive and don't give up.
Great. Well, thank you very much for being here, Alex.
Thank you.
All right. Take it.